Lecture 5, The Outbreak of the Revolution and the Monarchist Response.
Hello, welcome to our fifth in this series of lectures on modern European history. In the past lecture, we had addressed the long-term causes of the outbreak of the revolution in France in 1789, ending with the convening of the Estates General in the spring of that year. In this lecture, we're going to focus on what is often referred to as the first phase of the revolution, this dramatic period from the storming of the Bastille in the summer of 1789 to the establishment of the constitutional monarchy in 1792. The conjuncture of revolutionary interests that we talked about in our last lecture was to be seen instantly in 1789 with the convening of the Estates General. Aristocrats, clergy, elements of the Third Estate, all were delighted with the opportunity to convene and to press their notions of reform on a recalcitrant monarchy. However, aristocratic and ecclesiastical illusions about the malleability of the Third Estate were very soon revealed. Questions about the form of representation was raised by rulers of the Third Estate, arguing that from the very word go, representatives of the Third Estate, delegates from the Third Estate, argued that they wanted some change in the form of representation, either for the king to double its vote so that the Third Estate would be able to equal the first two estates, or to vote by head, to double the numbers and vote by head. Louis was willing to consider the first, but not the second of these two proposals. And when the king balked, the Third Estate simply seceded and proclaimed themselves the National Assembly on June 17th. This was a clear declaration that the Estates General, however they may have operated in 1614, were going to be operating in a very, very different sort of format this time around. This was quite extraordinary because the actual convening of the Estates had begun with a very, very formal and serious procession in Paris of the First Estate, the clergy in their vestments and ecclesiastical garb, followed at a respectful distance by the aristocracy in their furs and quite elaborate dress, followed by the Third Estate in their simple black dresses as determined by traditional practice. That was the last gasp of the old regime, certainly, in the events of the summer of 1789. On June 17th, the Third Estate then had seceded, had claimed that it spoke for the nation, that the National Assembly demanded genuine reform, and if it couldn't be had directly from the king, then some sort of extraordinary action would be taken. On June 20th, when the delegates of the Third Estate came back to their meeting rooms at Versailles, they found the door barred, their way blocked by representatives of the crown. As a consequence, they adjourned to a nearby indoor tennis court, declaring that the Third Estate now represented the nation and was hence the National Assembly. They issued what came to be known as the Tennis Court Oath. The delegates swore, quote, not to separate and to reassemble whatever the circumstances require until the constitution of the kingdom is established and consolidated. Instantly, by June 20th, representatives of the Third Estate, now identifying themselves as the National Assembly, were not simply talking about reform of the existing monarchy through the established estates. Now they're talking about a constitution of some sort. I think here one sees, and certainly in the deliberations of the National Assembly in subsequent days, sees the influence of the American Revolution and the American constitutional debates on the French delegates. Many members of the Third Estate had followed the course of the American Revolution, followed the drafting of the American Constitution. This had been a staple, a topic of conversation in the political clubs, in the reading societies, and so on, all over France.